Thank you, Shannon and Olivia, for your ministry and music. Up to I began college, I wore glasses, and my eyesight did not improve. That's not why I'm not wearing glasses now. It's, if anything, it's even worse, but now I just simply wear contacts. And without my glasses or without my contacts, I have a really hard time seeing. I'm almost blind, I'd say. I couldn't drive without my glasses or contacts. I couldn't even see someone or recognize someone that would just be standing a few feet in front of me. Even if I sat with a large print Bible in front of me, I would not be able to read the words or maybe even make out that there are words there. They'd be a blur to my eye. And we all sit here this morning in the same position. And maybe you think to yourself, I have 20/20 vision, or maybe you'd admit that your vision isn't amazing, but you kind of put off wearing glasses. You refuse to wear glasses, you can see pretty well. But by saying such a thing, I'm actually speaking of our spiritual eyesight. Our spiritual eyesight. Even as Christians, we need to be given the sight to see, the ability to understand the things of God. When we first believe, so when we first become a Christian, we need to be given the ability to understand and believe. 1 Corinthians 2:14 speaks of the unbeliever and says this: "The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned." But the verse right before this actually speaks about the believer. In 1 Corinthians 2:13, it speaks of the believer and says, "And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual." So even as Christians, we need to continue to be given the ability to see, to know more and more of God. And that's what we're going to be considering this morning, as we, the Lebanon Bible Fellowship Church, are challenged for yet another year to read our Bibles through in a year. If you've just begun worshiping with us this past year, it's been a tradition in this church that the Sunday before the start of the new year, that we are greatly encouraged to read through the scriptures in their entirety for that upcoming year, and then to do so again and again as we come back to the beginning of a year. And for those who have, so if you've been in this church for whatever, or for more than a year, for however many years that's been, maybe this past year was your first time of doing it, and now this upcoming year, maybe you're considering and you're thinking, I'm going to do something else for my devotional time or for my devotional reading, or maybe you've done it for many years. Maybe you've been reading your Bible through for many years, and this year you're wondering if this is the year to stop. This morning, I want to challenge us, and I want to greatly encourage you to continue on. To continue on. Maybe part of your thinking is, how much more can I get out of this book? I've read it many, many times. How much more can I really get out of this? And this morning, we have a text that speaks into such a question. This morning, our text speaks into the times when you're reading your Bible and you don't understand something. It's a text that should challenge you. If you have begun to look at the Bible as a doll, D-U-L-L, a dull book. It should instruct you if you have begun to have the mentality that you have mastered the Bible. This morning, we have one verse, and I'd ask for you to turn there with me. It's actually our call to worship verse, so you could look at it at the front of your bulletin. But open up your Bibles to Psalm 119, 18, as we will be glancing around at several of the other verses, especially in Psalm 119. But Psalm 119, 18, I'd ask for you to turn there with me, and that's going to be our verse of focus, and it reads this way. It says, "Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law." And our theme will simply be this morning: a prayer to pray and speak into your Bible reading this upcoming year. Again, our theme simply will be a prayer to pray and speak into your Bible reading this upcoming year. So my number one priority this morning is to encourage us to read our Bibles this year, the whole thing, the Old and the New Testament. And my second priority will be to encourage us to pray this prayer So pray Psalm 119, 18 consistently as you go to do your Bible reading each and every day, each and every time you read it. So I want to look at what this prayer is, what this prayer means when you pray this prayer. What are you praying when you pray, "Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law"? So first, this is a prayer that speaks of a deficiency in us. This is a prayer that speaks of a deficiency in us. The psalmist says in Psalm 119, 18, to begin, "Open my eyes that I may behold." Here we have a request as the first thing that he says, and then we have a desired outcome. Something is asked in this verse, showing that we have a need. We have a limitation as human beings, or even as I began, we have a limitation even as believers. As the psalmist here is certainly a believer in God, believes in God, is saved. So as I said in the beginning of this message, even as believers, we have a limitation. A limitation exists, and that is to understand the things of God. The psalmist is saying his eyes, they need to be open, that he's not seeing. He's blind to certain things, and he wants to behold. He wants to behold, to look, to see. And it's seeing with our minds. So it's not our eyes that are being talked about, but it's seeing with our minds that's being talked about. You might see the words or even be able to read the words in your Bible. You see them, can read them clearly, but may not understand and grasp what they are really saying. That's what's being spoken about when the psalmist says, "Open my eyes." This word open, to start our verse, speaks of an uncovering, a revealing. It's the word that's used in Numbers 22:31 when it says, "Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand, and he bowed down and fell on his face." It's a word that's also used in 1 Samuel 3:21. Same word in the Hebrew. It says, "And the Lord appeared again at Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel at Shiloh by the word of the Lord." Revealed is the idea behind this word, uncovering. So it's speaking of something not being known. The psalmist is talking about something not being known, not being understood. There is a need that the psalmist is addressing in this prayer, and it's God and the things of God need to be revealed to him. I don't know if you've ever played the game. Maybe it was in school, or maybe you've done it for fun. I believe it might be a game show as well, but I don't know if you've played the game where you have to reach your hand into a box and feel an object, maybe hold the object, touch the object, and try and figure out what is in this box. You can't see it, it's covered up, but you have to touch it, feel it, grasp it, and try to figure out what this really is. But until you actually pull it out of the box, only then will you really be able to tell what this object is, what color it is. What specifically is this object? We need the object to be revealed to us. We need to be able to see it if we want to know what it is in all of its intricacies. And so too here. It's not seeing with our eyes, as I already made clear, but seeing with our minds that's being talked about. Understanding that we don't have an ability to truly know. We as believers have such a need for God and the things of God to be revealed. Move on next to our next point, continuing on in the verse, and that is that this is a prayer that relates to the Scriptures. This is a prayer that relates to the Scriptures. Look back with me at our verse. It's the tail end I want to focus on now. It says in Psalm 119, 18, "Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law." Out of your law. This might seem like an obvious point. Okay, it might seem like an obvious point, but it needs to be mentioned so there's no confusion here. This is a prayer that relates directly to the Word of God, the law. Okay, the law is a specific part mentioned, and I believe the psalmist is saying that is the Scriptures that the psalmist had. He is referring to the Scriptures as he had them. And our verse then this morning, I believe, can be applied to all of the Scriptures we have As God has continued to reveal himself, as God has continued to have his word written down, we have them now in the Old and the New Testament. So I believe Psalm 119, 18 doesn't just refer to the law, but refers to all of the scriptures as we have them today. And as we saw, this need, this deficiency in us is brought up. And we find now that it's directly connected with being able to understand God and the things relating to God in the Word of God. In the Word of God. The psalmist is not looking for this need, as he says, open my eyes. The psalmist is not looking for this need to be resolved through dreams or visions. He's not asking God to reveal himself in dreams or visions. The psalmist is not looking for understanding, maybe through experiences or miracles, but it's the written Word of God that is being consulted and looked upon. It's our Bibles that we are to be praying such a prayer concerning. The scriptures are where we should come for God to be revealed as his given, as his chosen instrument. Not something else. Not something else. And this might seem foreign to us, but I think it's important to mention this point here. As I've come across the thought, not in this church, but in the Christian world, that there are some who believe there are many different sources of theology that are on par with each other. That along with the scriptures, there's experience and there's also supernatural communication from God, like dreams and visions. There's tradition. And some believe that all of these sources, including the scripture, are on par with each other. They are equal. They can all feed you or give you an understanding of God and the things relating to God. And this simply, it's not the case. It's not the case. So don't be duped into believing such a thing as you come across maybe this thought, even from Christians. As there is no other source that is equal to the scriptures. There is nothing else that is equal to the Word of God that can reveal God in the things of God. The other thing I want to bring up under this point, as we consider this prayer and its relation to the scriptures, is that as we consider the need spoken of in our first point, this is not a need because of the scriptures. It's not a need because of the scriptures. The limitation, as we talked about a deficiency, the limitation is not in the scriptures, but it's in us. The Bible is not somehow broken and needs to be fixed. The Bible is not limited and we need additional help to overcome its weaknesses. Weakness, as Psalm 19:7 says, the law of the Lord is perfect. The Word of God is perfect, meaning it is complete, it is unscathed, it is undamaged, it's intact. It's blameless. We as humans are sinful, of weak and limited minds. So we are the problem and not the scriptures. As we think about Psalm 119, 18, as the psalmist says, open my eyes. Instead of saying, make the word clear, or this makes no sense, change it, fix it. One commentator says it like this. He says, the holy scriptures are plain enough, but the heart of man is darkened by sin. The Bible does not so much need a comment as the soul does the light of the Holy Spirit. Maybe a more familiar or a familiar name, James Montgomery Boyce says in his commentary on Psalm 119, he says, here it does not mean that the word itself is covered as if it were somehow unclear. The Bible is perfectly clear. That is what we mean when we speak of the clarity of Scripture. There is nothing dull about it. Rather, the dullness is in us. Therefore, what we need is the removing of the veil from our eyes so we can see those wonderful things that are in the Bible. So as we think about both these things that I brought out from this second point, that it is the scriptures and no other source that is being looked to in this prayer, and then second, that the problem is us and not the scriptures, Charles Bridges sums up both points by saying, what then is the prayer? Referring to Psalm 119, 18. Not give me a plainer Bible, but open mine eyes to know my Bible. Not show me some new revelations beside the law, but make me behold the wonders of the law. Third, as we consider Psalm 119, 18 this morning, and as we are challenged to read our Bibles through this year, this is a prayer that acknowledges a need. This is a prayer that acknowledges, admits, confesses, a need. Look again at Psalm 119:18. The psalmist prays and he says, and notice the personal aspect of this prayer, he says, open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. The older you get, the more you realize you have to learn. Or it could be said that the more you know, the more you realize how much you do not know. This can be applied to this verse. The psalmist is not only saying that humans in general, so he's not talking about humans out here in general, have such a deficiency when it comes to the word of God, but he owns it. He owns it. He applies it to himself. He recognizes his need and so prays this prayer. You have to realize, we have to realize that we have not come to grasp all that the Bible has to offer. But really, we have just scratched the surface of what the Bible has to offer. The psalmist here, as we think about this prayer, he realizes his need. He admits that he needs help. He confesses he cannot understand the scriptures on his own. This is a prayer expressing the need you have. A prayer where you realize your limitations, you admit your weakness, and ask that you would be made to see. As we think about this prayer forces us. This prayer forces us to come to our Bibles humbly. Humbly. It's a humble prayer. There's a real temptation to feel as if we've mastered our Bibles, especially if you've read them, if you've studied them for many years. If maybe this is your 40th, 42nd time reading through your Bible in a year, you could feel as if you've mastered it. You've kind of accomplished what you need to in reading the scriptures. We could begin to think we have it all figured out. But realize the one who wrote Psalm 119:18 also said this. In Psalm 119, verses 99 and 100, we find that this is no beginner to the Word of God. Psalm 119, 99 and 100, we get this about our psalmist. He says, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, for I keep your precepts. So we find then that this is one then who was above his teachers in his grasp of the word. This is one who knew more than those who were older than him, those who should know more, those who should understand more. He grasped these things. And I don't take this to be him speaking in a prideful way at all. But as we see, he's humble about it. He realizes he still has a need as we consider our prayer and our verse this morning. He owns and he proclaims such a need. There's more to learn, the psalmist is speaking and admitting. There are things he has not grasped, and he realizes it as he prays this prayer. So may we, that's the psalmist, but may we never come to a point in our lives where we believe that we know all there is to know from the Word. To think that we can move on to other things. For we will never unearth all the treasures that are found in our Bibles. This is why we can, and I would argue should, come back to the beginning of our Bibles year after year after year. This is why preaching such a message year after year after year of reading the Bible through in a year will never become unneeded. It will take a lifetime plus to take in all that the Bible has from God for us to understand. So this should be an incentive this year to pick up your Bible at the start of this year and read it through, as there is always more to learn. Always more to learn. This should be an incentive to read the scriptures for another year, to keep on adding to your understanding. May we come to the Bible. May we come to our Bibles this year, recognizing and admitting the need that we have to see, to understand. We need help, and we cannot do it on our own. That's where I want us to turn next to consider fourth, that this is a prayer of reliance upon God. This is a prayer of reliance upon God. I want us to consider who the request, open my eyes, who it's being made to. Well, the answer is simple and probably expected, but in Psalm 119, the whole thing is spoken to God. God is the audience. God is the one that he's speaking to with this prayer. And especially as we consider Psalm 119:18, it is directed to God. It is a request being made known or made to God. So he's asking God here, open my eyes, to open his eyes. He's asking God to give him this understanding. He is dependent on God to comprehend his word. What this verse is talking about is given the term illumination. Illumination. It's the understanding and the ability to grasp the word that God brings about in us. And even more specifically, as I read in the beginning from 1 Corinthians, it's the third person of the Trinity. It's the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, that brings about the ability to see and grasp the things of God from his word. He illumines us to be able to see. He illumines us to be able to understand and know what the scriptures are saying. So the psalmist, as we think about him, he's not then thinking that he himself can lift his drooping eyelids or keep his eye or open his eyelids that are shut, but he's looking to God to help him. As we consider such a reliance in this fourth point and this dependence upon God when we come to his word, I want to spend some time under this fourth point, considering the fact that we certainly still have a part in this. Okay, we should pray such a prayer. We should have such a reliance upon God. We should fully and totally rely upon God to illumine us when it comes to the scriptures. But this does not mean that we just sit put. Okay, this does not mean that we can be lazy then when it comes to our Bibles. But as we consider our part, first, we must actually be in the scriptures. So rely upon God, but we need to be in the scriptures. We cannot pray such a prayer and expect any result if we're not reading our Bibles. Many people want to hear from God. They want Jesus to talk to them. They want to know God's will for their life. People long for a voice from heaven. And we have that voice in the scriptures. We must be in the word if we want to be illuminated, if we want God to speak to us. So such a verse like Psalm 119:18 assumes that we are in our Bibles reading them. We cannot pray Psalm 119:18 if we are not reading the scriptures. So I call you today. In the back, we have some Bible reading plans, and I call you today to pick up one of those on your way out. We'll have them between the back doors, the middle doors there as you exit. But we have a chronological plan that takes you through what is believed to be the sequence of events in your Bible. And we also have a canonical plan that brings you through book by book through the Bible. You also could open up your bulletins, and in the middle there, on the right-hand bottom, we have a QR code that you can scan with your camera, and that will jump you to our church website where we have even more plans, more options of plans that take you through Old and New Testament, maybe just in some different variations. But no matter what you prefer, begin to plan to read this Thursday, the start of your Bible, through the year. January 1st, we must be reading the Word of God if we want to hear from God. If you like routine, pick a time that daily you're going to go back to again and again to read through the Scriptures. If you'd like to read it all throughout the day, just be committed to finishing that by the end of the day. But such a verse calls us first to be in the Word. There's no age that is too late to begin. So if you're thinking, I'm 70, I'm 80. I haven't done this my whole life. Now's the time to start. Same thing, if a kid can read, there's no age too young to start. That's one of the other reasons I wanted to put out the paper plans, as most kids don't have phones, so this gives them the opportunity to be able to check it off as they read through their Bible. So first, read through the Word this year. Second, as we think about our part, so it's all on God, it is our reliance upon God, but we still have a part. And I want us to consider our own study. So we need to read it, but also study it. Such a verse, Psalm 119:18, should not make us think that we don't need to do the hard work of study. Reading the Word should just be a starting place. But memorizing, meditating on the Scriptures, looking into what certain words mean, outlining a text, considering the author's intent of a passage, are all things that God can use to open our eyes to His Word. Our study is something God uses to open our eyes to his word. I've always felt that studying for the purpose of teaching the scriptures has been the best way and has been the way that God has used in my life to reveal what his word says, to give me a deeper, fuller understanding of the scriptures. God uses our hard work in studying to open our eyes to his word. And then third, as we think about our reliance upon God and our part, I want us to consider looking to others. Looking to others. Looking and relying upon God does not cut others out. When it comes to our reading and study, it's wise to consult other books, other resources, especially books that are often termed commentaries. Our library is filled with them in our church library, and I'd encourage you to check it out, but they're often short or sometimes longer explanations of what a verse or what a passage means. Study Bibles, as I believe many of you have them, usually are shorter explanations of what certain verses or certain passages mean. The ESV Study Bible is one that I'd recommend, but God uses such resources and other people's notes to give us such illumination of his word. And we see this in the scriptures. I think of Priscilla and Aquila in Acts 18, 24 and 28 with Apollos, and I'll read it for us. It says, "Now a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was an eloquent man, competent in the scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things concerning Jesus, though he knew only the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue." And then it says, "But when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. And when he wished to cross to Achaia, the brothers encouraged him and wrote to the disciples to welcome him. When he arrived, he greatly helped those who through the grace had believed. For he powerfully refuted the Jews in public, showing by the scriptures that the Christ was Jesus." So Priscilla and Aquila, they took aside Apollos and they corrected him. They explained it more accurately, more clearly to him to give him a better understanding of God, of the gospel, of the word. So this reliance upon God does not cut others out. God uses others to help us understand the word, and one of the primary ways that we have this week after week after week is through the preaching of the word. I thought about reading the passage in which Ezra read the word of God and the Levites helped the people understand. I thought about reading for us 2 Timothy 4 and 5, where all scripture is said to be inspired by God, and then Paul calls Timothy to preach the word. But I'll read for us a little bit of a less familiar text, and I'll read for us Colossians 1, 28 through chapter 2, verse 3, which brings out this point. It says, or Paul says, "Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not seen me face to face, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." So here in this passage, Paul is talking about his teaching. He's talking about his preaching, of his proclamation of Christ, and he tells of his struggle. This is something he works at. This is something that he pours time and effort into doing, of teaching, of seeking to help other people understand the word, and it's for believers, as he says, to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So Paul is an example of, he doesn't think, oh, God will reveal it. And he just sits back and he lets God or lets him work. But no, he preaches. He proclaims the word. And so the preaching of the word is another means which God uses to give us an understanding of his word. And I trust that you, as you've sat under the preaching and the teaching of the word through the years, that you have seen God open your eyes to his word, that you've gained a better understanding of the word of God. It's a verse that I often pray as I come to my study, each week and even all throughout it, especially as I'm struggling to understand a text. It's often a verse that I pray that God would open my eyes, help me understand his word. It's a prayer that I need to pray even as I preach, as I prepare to proclaim it, that God would open your eyes as you hear this sermon. And to end this point, I'll quote James Montgomery Boyce again. And he begins by quoting a man named John Kerr. He says this: "A man will never grow into the knowledge of God's word by idly waiting for some new gift of discernment, but by diligently using that which God has already bestowed upon him and using at the same time all other helps that lie within his reach." Then James Montgomery Boyce says, in other words, if we want to see wonderful things in the scriptures, it is not enough for us merely to ask God to open our eyes that we might see. We must also study the Bible carefully. The Holy Spirit is given not to make our study unnecessary, but to make it effective. All this to say then, as we consider this fourth point, God is ultimately the one who opens our eyes to his word. And we have to look to him to do so. But it doesn't cut others out or our effort out. These are tools by which God uses to bring understanding. As we think about the four points we've gone through so far, before we move on to our verse, I believe this is a good time for me to give you a personal illustration. I had an experience a couple years ago that was revealing to me, especially of such a verse. We as a church, if you were with us, and if you remember on Sunday evenings, we were going through a series called Memorable Verses. And I chose for one of my verses that I was going to tackle, I chose Hebrews 4:12, which says this: "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." It's an awesome verse concerning the scriptures. And I knew that going into it. I was excited to preach such a text. I was excited to study such a verse. But the problem was I hit a roadblock. That week I had plenty of time to study this passage. I was working hard at understanding the Hebrews 4:12. I was reading commentaries on it, seeking to understand it. But I could not understand it. It was a uniquely difficult time for me in the study. So you know what I did? I was running out of time. It wasn't clicking. And especially with that type of series, we were just picking various verses rather than going through our normal, going through a book or passages through a book of the Bible. So I left my study of that Bible, or of that passage. I picked a different passage and preached another passage. But a couple weeks later, I thought, you know what? I'm going to go back to Hebrews 4:12. I need to look at my study. I revisited my document with all my study on it of Hebrews 4:12, and I thought I'd give it another go. So I took another look at Hebrews 4:12, and to my amazement, what I had written down, what I had studied, the notes that I had taken, some of the outline that I already had made, it made sense. It made sense. I was understanding this verse as I took a second look at it. Things started to roll, and a lot more easily. I studied this passage, and I preached it one Sunday evening in our Memorable Verses series on Hebrews 4:12. What happened? I hadn't studied in between these two occasions. I had studied it that one time, and then that next week when I decided to relook at it, I studied it then, but not in between. As I said, the first time I studied it was a uniquely difficult time. But it wasn't a uniquely difficult week. It was had plenty of time to study. It was a normal week of study. Nothing changed within me. So what happened? I believe God worked and opened my eyes. Why then? I have my guesses, but I certainly don't know. But it was a time where it was nothing I did. But God revealed to me his scriptures and revealed to me what they meant. And the same thing can take place for us. Maybe just in your normal reading through the Bible, maybe one year there's something that maybe just passes right over your head, or maybe you consider it, you don't understand it, but maybe the next time you read it, or another year you're reading through it, and it clicks. You get it. And that is God giving you such an understanding. Move to our fifth point now, as we consider Psalm 119:18, and that is that we have a prayer that brings out the grandness of the word. Brings out the grandness of the word. Look with me at Psalm 119:18. It says, "Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law." So I've talked about understanding, and I've talked about gaining more knowledge and understanding the scriptures. Maybe all of this has sounded boring to you this morning. Well, here, the verse takes it up a notch. The verse shows we're not dealing with boring material here when it comes to the scriptures. What does the psalmist want his eyes to be open to? What does he want to see? Wondrous things. Wonderful things. This word wondrous speaks of something surpassing, extraordinary. It's especially used of God's acts and God's works in the scriptures. This same exact word is used other times in the scriptures of the wonders, the amazing things that God does. I'll just quote a few. It's the same word as God speaks of the plagues to Moses that he would bring upon Egypt in Exodus 3:20. It says, "So I will stretch out my hand and strike Egypt with all the wonders that I will do in it. After that, he will let you go." So speaking of the plagues, of the wonders done in Egypt, God uses this word as he explains how he will work in his people Israel. In Exodus 34:10, he says, "And he said, behold, I am making a covenant. Before all your people, I will do marvels." So the same word, wondrous, as Psalm 119:18. "I will do marvels such as have not been created in all the earth or in any nation. And all the people among whom you are shall see the work of the Lord, for it is an awesome thing that I will do with you." And then Joshua uses this word. Joshua uses this word as he speaks of God dividing the Jordan River and the people of Israel going in, entering into the promised land. It says this in Joshua 3:5. "Then Joshua said to the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." So the psalmist, I believe, wants to see more of what God has done by using this word wondrous, as it often refers to the wonderful things that God has done. He wants to see the amazing ways God has worked. He wants to glean the intricacies of God's plans and purposes. It's a great thing to read the scriptures over and over in their totality. If this is your 10th or your 20th or 40th time reading through, this is a great practice that you have continued. But there is a real temptation for this book to become dull to us. No longer excite us, the stories that once excited us, the verses that once intrigued us, the insights that once floored us from our Bibles can become something that is nothing special in our minds. We may begin to become bored with the Bible. And let our verse this morning teach us a very important truth. If the Bible has become boring to you, the problem is not with the Bible, but it's with you. The problem is not with the Bible, but it is with us. This verse reminds us that our Bibles are filled with wondrous things. We can call upon God to bring out to us the extraordinary things that it holds. So we should read our Bibles this year and pray this prayer because we want to know more about our God who has saved us into our relationship with Him. May we come to our Bible reading this year paying more and more attention to our God and His Word. May we pray then from Psalm 119:18 that God would reveal Himself more completely to us this year. May we pray that God would help us see what He has done in the past. May we pray that God would help us grasp more in depth what He did through His Son when it came to His plan of salvation. Move to our sixth point, and that is, this is a prayer leading to obedience. Leading to obedience. Look with me at the verse above ours. Look at Psalm 119 in its brief context in verse 17 and flowing into verse 18. It says, "Deal bountifully with your servant." And then it says, "That I may live and keep your word. open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. What I want us to see by looking at the verse right before is that wanting to understand and know more cannot be the end goal. Certainly, we should seek to know more and more about God and the things of God, but this cannot just be for head knowledge. This cannot just be for head knowledge. It certainly cannot be to flaunt it before others. It's not even only that we now can teach others, but it's meant to impact the way in which we live our lives. As again, in verse 17, the psalmist says, that I may live and keep your word, that I may live and obey your word, follow your word. Understanding the Bible must lead to obedience of the Bible. A right understanding must lead us to right living. It's as James says in James 1:22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. So much may such a prayer, as we consider Psalm 119:18, and our reading of the scriptures this year lead to godliness. Lead us to praying that God would bring about godliness through our reading of the scriptures. May it lead us to conforming our lives to the word that we read daily. And we'll close with a seventh point, and that is that this is a prayer that brings out a constant need. It brings out a constant need. This is no once-and-done prayer. But Psalm 119:18 is a prayer that we need to pray continuously. May we pray before each reading. May we pray it before each reading of the scriptures. Each time that we sit under the preaching and the teaching of the word, every time that we sit down to study, to teach, open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. We see this as we work our way through Psalm 119. Six times in Psalm 119, the psalmist asks God for understanding. So again, not just once and done, but he repeatedly and continuously says such things. So I'll trace for us the word understanding through Psalm 119. Psalm 119:27, the psalmist says, make me understand the way of your precepts, and I will meditate on your wondrous works. Psalm 119:34 says, give me understanding that I may keep your law and observe it with my whole heart. Psalm 119:73 says, your hands have made and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments. Psalm 119:125 says, I am your servant. Give me understanding that I may know your testimonies. Psalm 119:144 says, your testimonies are righteous forever. Give me understanding that I may live. Psalm 119:169 says, your testimonies are righteous forever. Give me understanding that I may live. This is what he asks as well then in Psalm 119:18. We see that it's something that he did repeatedly, and so should we. So should we. This prayer should become a staple in our lives so that we might glean more and more from the depths of the deep, deep well of the Word of God. So as we come around to another year of Bible reading, there is application for the one who has read it through the last 20 years or for the one who has never has and will this year. This wouldn't be your first time reading, though. Okay, as I mentioned, you might feel as if you've mastered this book, and surely you have gleaned great things from it. But out of Psalm 119:18, what must be impressed upon you is that there is more yet to learn. There is more for you to understand, so reading, once again, is a fitting task for another year. May this be a prayer you pray to God to show you new things, to reveal more of himself to you this year as you read through the Bible. May he help you understand even more of him, to have a greater understanding, to have a greater completion of your grasp of who God is and even what his plans are this next year. This would be your first year reading through the Bible. May this be a prayer that you pray as you open your Bible to read it, as you will meet many new things, many things that you have never encountered, things that might perplex you, things that might scare you, things that seem out of place for the Bible. Pray and trust that God will help you understand his word. You don't have to have all your questions answered that first time reading through, but realize as you read and things make sense, that this is God giving you the ability to take in and to grasp the things that you read in His Word. So I'd encourage kids, teens, adults, pick up a Bible reading plan on your way out or scan the QR code and work through a plan on there and read your Bible through in 2026 and pray each time you do so, open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for such a text that shows us that we can never master our Bibles, that there is so many riches, and your word is so deep, and you, God, are far above us, far greater than us. You are infinite, and we are finite. You are all powerful, and we are weak. You are all wise, and Lord, we often lack wisdom. Lord, to understand you is a lifetime journey. And even by the end of our lives, Lord, we will not fully know what you would have for us in the scriptures, or even to completely understand who you are. Lord, we thank you that you have revealed to us what we do need to know, what we do need to know to have a saving relationship with you, and that is believing in your Son, Jesus, as a Savior of our sins. Lord, I pray that you would help us, that you would motivate us, that you would stir us up, that you would spur us on from such a message to read our Bibles through this year, that we'd really make it one of those aims that we set out to do this new year, that we would strive to do so. Lord, I pray for the person that maybe has tried several times and it hasn't worked out. It's been something that they have turned from. Lord, I pray that you would strengthen them so that this might be the first year that they read your word in its totality. Lord, I pray for the person that's trying it for the very first time, and Lord, I pray that you would help them to see the riches of your word. And Lord, I pray for the person that has read it now several, maybe many times. Lord, I pray that you would continue to show them the wonderful things that you have done, reveal new things to them that they've never seen or maybe have forgotten. And Lord, I pray that as a church, you would open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things out of your law. And in Jesus' name I pray, amen.